Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Well, let's talk about Golf Cart Gale. Have you heard about this story from this past week? Now, according to a number of media outlets, at a recent youth soccer match near Jacksonville, Florida, a dad was on the sidelines, and during the course of the action, the father was apparently reprimanding his son during the game. Now, the boy, who's 13, apparently he'd been frustrated by a ref's call that had gone against him. And as the kid, I guess, was pouting on the field, the father was yelling at him from the sidelines, extolling him to play on and to keep competing hard and to try and move past the ref's call and to basically keep hustling. But as in many youth leagues, there was a league supervisor who was watching all this, and she felt that the father was over the line in his verbal display with his son. And so she decided to intervene, and she reprimanded the father. Now, the dad was most unhappy with all this and protested vehemently to the supervisor that he was not yelling discouraging words to his son, but actually encouraging him to play on and to be a good sport. But the supervisor didn't buy this explanation, and as things got more and more heated between the two of them, the female supervisor became increasingly nervous and worried that things might escalate and get out of hand. So what'd she do? She called the police to come to the field. Now, one of the reasons why this very awkward confrontation went viral and received so much national attention is because the supervisor, and she's been labeled as Golf Cart Gale because she was supervising the various soccer games by driving around in a golf cart, she happened to be white. And the father that she had reprimanded in this case is black. So when the police did arrive, they first interviewed Golf Cart Gale, and then they interviewed the father as well. And noting that no physical altercation had occurred, seemingly Gale had apparently misinterpreted what the dad had been yelling to his son, well, the cops saw no reasons for any arrest. The police basically told the two adults to just take it easy and to try and move on and behave. So in short, what seemed to be on the brink of another potential racial confrontation really turned out to be nothing more than a miscommunication. Now, in her defense, Golf Cart Gale, obviously, of course, that's not her real name, and the soccer league said that there have been several incidents of parents being out of control in recent league games, which is why the supervisor was being extra careful on this one. And, of course, most of the interaction between Golf Cart Gale and the dad was caught on other parents' cell phone video. Now, this incident caught my eye for two reasons. And please, let's try and put the race issue, put that on the back burner. That's not really the focus of my discussion this morning. But from a sports parenting perspective, have you ever been at a youth game or a high school game where you felt that another parent was out of control, or for that matter, that a kid was out of control? And if so, as an adult, did you feel compelled to say something or to do something? Now look, at many high school games where parental emotions certainly can run high, there are often teachers or even school security officers on hand who are there to monitor behavior and to keep the peace. If a parent sees something out of control, then he or she usually just goes to the security officer or perhaps the high school athletic director to complain. But truth is that many youth and travel and club teams, there is rarely a security officer or teacher who is assigned to supervise. So what does a parent do then? Do you feel compelled to step up and intervene? First of all, if you feel there's another parent that has really crossed the line in terms of reprimanding their own kid during a game, do you have the right to say something? Now, you can see the kid is upset. You feel for him or her, but this means crossing an unwritten rule about imposing your parenting style onto another mom or dad. I want to get your thoughts about this because I know we've all experienced this. And if you're watching all this, you have a sense of like, well, do I get involved here? Do I say something to somebody else's parent about what they're doing to the kid by verbally yelling at them? 1-877-337-6666. And again, this is a tough one because I'm quite sure we have all been in this kind of predicament, and you have to balance your sense of compassion for the youngster who's being yelled and screamed at with what you might think is an overbearing parent. Now, clearly with Golf Cart Gail, she must have felt that she was just doing her job to protect the young soccer player. But you can see how this kind of misinterpretation could have escalated very quickly into something very, very dangerous. Let's start our conversation this morning with our friend Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Getting ready to coach some baseball this morning in this great weather.
So, well, I can only imagine, Rick, what it's going to be like tomorrow in Boston at Fenway Park with what the weather temperature.
I'm looking forward to that World Series. I think it's going to be a great one.
I think it will, too. It's just too bad they can't play baseball in the 70s. I'm sure the weather would be much better in Los Angeles.
Absolutely on it. But, Rick, it's really getting bad with parents. I mean, even with me coaching, I mean, they don't bother me because I don't take nothing from my parents.
Right.
The point is I'm watching these parents in action, and they come over to the dugouts. They're instructing their kids, doing this and that. You know what it's going to come down to? At certain events, they're going to have barriers where this is where all the parents got to sit because all they're doing is that they're making their kids confused and all that stuff. And I don't know how bad the situation was with this father. But the point was, because they've had so many incidents in the past, Golf Cart Gail was probably only doing her job. You know, she was probably instructed in all that stuff.
Yeah, first of all, we don't know the extent of what the father was yelling at his son. He makes the case that he was just trying to get his kid to keep playing hard because the kid was apparently pouting and upset by a call that went against him. But that being said, first of all, does a parent even have to do that? Isn't that the job or the role of the coach as opposed to the parent to be screaming at the kid saying, look, call went against you, let's keep going, let's keep playing. So that's the first issue. And to your point, Ed, is Gail, whose job is apparently to supervise all these soccer matches, and she goes around to various games in a golf cart, she was doing her job. She must have felt that there was something that was really getting out of control to the point she felt compelled to say something to this dad. Now, nothing happened. Obviously, nothing happened, but she felt nervous that perhaps something might escalate, and that's why she called the cops. But again, this is where we are today when it comes to youth sports. And Ed, to your point, from a coach's perspective, what do you do if you think a parent is yelling at their kid from the stands as a coach?
Well, you know what I've done in the past, Rick? I walk over to the parent, and I don't care because my point is this: hey, you're embarrassing my program. You're embarrassing my team. Now, the next time this happens, guess what I'm doing? I'm taking your son out of the game.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm going to tell him to walk over and say, Dad, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that's the way I do it. And you know what? I have no issues.
Well, you know, it's unfortunately, as we both know, ultimately it's the victim in all this is the kid. Because the kid gets penalized and gets taken out of the game, and he goes over and tells the father, well, the reason why the coach took me out was because he couldn't deal with you yelling and screaming at me. And that's basically igniting the fuse to cause even more problems. But that's where we are these days.
Well, again, I'm coaching older kids. So you know what? If college coaches come watch my players play, not only are they watching the players, Rick, they're watching how the parents act.
It's unbelievable. Hey, Ed, thanks for the call.
I'm looking forward to seeing you Wednesday night and meeting you. Looks like it's going to be a great event at Montclair State.
Ed, I look forward to seeing you as well. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Take care. Let's move on to Eric up in Chappaqua in Westchester County. Eric, good morning. You're on the Fan. Eric, you there?
I am. How are you?
Good, Eric. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's not even so much I think part of what we have to focus on is what he was shouting at the kid. And frankly, I think it's great that the father is encouraging his son to move past the bad call and not get down on himself. And the father should be applauded, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
The kids can just give up.
Well, Eric, what about what's the job of the coach in all this?
Well, the job of the coach is, I think, he can make an assessment as to whether or not the father is over the line.
Yeah.
And it's also not like the father is coaching the kid per se. Like the coach says, you know, go do this, and the father's saying, no, go do that. All the father is doing is saying, do your best. That's what we're supposed to do as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And who is Golf Cart Gale? What kind of training does she have to assess these situations? It just sounds to me like she's a busybody with a cart. I mean, I think the father was right, and Golf Cart Gale really has to get out of the way. And your point about it's his kid, I think, should get a lot of weight. And also, where is the rule of common sense? That is all lost in this.
Common sense, how does common sense play into this?
Common sense plays into it. This is a father talking to his own son. He's not threatening him. He's not cursing at him. He is extolling him to be his best person.
Mm-hmm.
And common sense dictates, if it's not your kid, get out of the way.
You know, Eric, I have to be candid with you. I don't know. First, to your point about what Golf Cart Gale's background is, I have no idea. And from the video I saw of her, photos, looks like she's an older woman, probably in her 50s or 60s, and maybe she's just helping out in a volunteer capacity. There was her defense was that there have been other incidents that she felt that she had to intervene because she didn't want things to get out of hand. So I wish I knew more about her. As far as the father, you know, she must have felt that the father was at the point where he was so either had crossed the line in reprimanding his kid to keep on playing and playing hard, that it was getting to be a distraction. So, again, it's all very subjective. It's all of the moment. It's a judgment call. But I will say this, that while I understand the father's defense was, hey, I was just trying to get my kid to play on and be a good sport, that would, to me, suggest that that's the role of the coach. And again, this was on a 6-year-old kid or a 7-year-old. He was 13. By the time you're 13,
right,
you know, you're in 7th, 8th grade, you should know that there are going to be bad calls in the game or calls that go against you. So I would have thought that the coach would have stepped up and said to this kid, hey, you know, you got to keep playing. I understand the father's eagerness to want to get the kid to keep going, but I felt that, you know, perhaps the kid and the coach, that's where I felt that should have come from, that instruction. Eric, thank you for the call. We're talking about Golf Cart Gale and this incident that took place down in Jacksonville where an angry or irate father, a disappointed father, was yelling at his kid from the sidelines during a game, and a woman in a golf cart who was the league supervisor to make sure the parents aren't out of control stepped up and intervened. Nothing happened, thankfully, but this caused a lot of national attention. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. And I have some thoughts which I'll share with you as to perhaps how we can try more and more ways to reduce these kind of interactions. Anyhow, let me take a time out. Dave Urim has your Sunday morning update. When I return, I'll go right back to your calls. And back here on the Sports Edge, I've asked the question this morning, have you ever felt compelled to intervene when a parent has clearly lost their cool during the course of a youth or amateur game? And let me extend this a bit. If a parent is outraged that his son is not being treated fairly by the coach during a game, or that a ref or an umpire has made a bad call, would you ever feel tempted to say something to that parent to get them to calm down? And I'm taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. How about if that parent is a friend of yours? Does that make it easier to go over and say something to them to get them to relax? Now, I will say this. It's my sense, and I don't have any empirical research to prove this, but it's my sense that out-of-control parental behavior has decreased substantially over the years, and that's a good thing. And maybe it's because, you know, in many leagues, parents have to sign a contract at the beginning of the year in which they promise to behave at their kids' games, or maybe it's because parents are finally wising up to the reality that such behavior is embarrassing not only to them but also to their child. Or maybe it's because cell phones are now everywhere and all sorts of bad behavior can now be quickly recorded and put forth on social media. In fact, I think that's a major reason why parents now begin to think twice about being verbally abusive to their child or to a ref or an ump, because they know that somebody's going to take a recording of it. But for many parents who observe bad behavior, they still tend to be very reluctant to get involved, whether it's because they sense a downside to all this or because they don't think they have the right to say something to another parent about how to raise their kid. And that is a real reluctance. Let's go back to our calls. Let's go to Stephen in Morganville, New Jersey. Stephen, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. Good morning. So I was a soccer coach almost 20 years ago, and I was the head coach, and I'm going to tell you of a story of 6 and 7 year olds playing soccer and how my goalie ended up giving up 2 goals and started to cry in the goal. And I ran out on the field, stopped the game, and turned him around away from everybody and said, you're our goalie, do your best. And lo and behold, after about a minute of time, the other coach starts screaming from the other side of the field, get him off the field if he doesn't want to play. Well, I screamed back and I said something like, you know, we're here for the kids. And obviously I turned back to the kid, and as I turned him away from the field, I said, look, you're going to do your best. The team is behind you. And he played pretty well the rest of the game. But more important, I empowered that kid because he wasn't a great athlete. He came back the next week, and I never saw him play so well and so assertive in just trying to be, you know, chase the ball and attack the ball. Mm-hmm. In any event. So, lo and behold, the next, there was another incident about coaching the kids and at nighttime, and it was raining, it was 40 degrees, and I told my team we're not going out on the field and practicing with this professional soccer player. And again, these kids are 6 and 7 years old.
Right.
So the next season, I was an assistant coach because the whole administration of the soccer league said that I did something wrong. In any event, the core of the problem here for the last probably 50 years on all these sports fields, the core, it's a word that I call emotional incest. The fathers are, and the mothers, or mostly fathers, are pushing their kids into this realm of trying to become professional athletes. But the fathers are doing it. It's not the kids. I was an athlete when I was a young kid. I know how I competed. I never wanted to hurt the other team. I just wanted to engage in the sport.
Well, Stephen, let me, and first of all, thank you for that call, this call this morning about that story with 20 years ago. And I thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, what you talked about is a situation where you would have the humanity to go out and the compassion to basically comfort the goalie. Again, he's 6 or 7 years old. He's never experienced this kind of disappointment in a public forum like this. He did the right thing. Let the kid, you know, give him a pat on the back and reassure him he's doing okay. As to why the opposing coach, again, 6 and 7 year olds, is playing to win at all cost, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And that's, again, I'd like to think, and we know there's been a huge, concern about parental behavior. I'd like to think that there are enough compassionate coaches out there who understand that it is about the kids and that the kids were concerned about, not about the moms and dads who perhaps are, in fact, living, you know, vicariously through their children. Let's move on. Let's go to Vin over in Milford, New Jersey. Vin, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Vin?
Good. It's Milford, Connecticut, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw Milford. I figured it was Jersey. Okay. So how are
no,
things?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Listen, To your point, you know, parents have to let the coach coach. That's number one.
Yep.
Okay. And it's up to the coach to say to the kid, hey, look, I don't agree with the call either, but you know what? We still have to play the game.
Right.
Then it's up to the parents afterwards to say, hey, explain to them what's going on and why a call was made or wasn't made correctly, whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
But while a child is on the field, that's up to the coach. And I'll give you an example. I don't agree with you about an unwritten rule. If a parent is out of hand,
yep,
somebody has to step up and say, hey, enough is enough, whether you do it on the side quietly or you embarrass the person because they're embarrassing the kids out on the field. Has to be done. And I'll give you a great example. It happened to me a number of years ago in the youth level game where this one parent was berating all the kids, not only his own.
Whoa.
This was an all-star team. And finally, I just had enough, and I said, hey, look, this was the team that was picked. Support them, okay, because this is the team that's going on to into this tournament. And you know what? Enough is enough, and let's go on from here. If you have a problem, don't bother coming. Well, some of the parents got up and actually applauded, which I never expected anything like that. But I don't think there is an unwritten rule. Somebody has to step up and say,
well, here's the thing, Vin, here's the deal. And, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you just talked about there. That's what I'm talking about. If a parent gets up and starts to vocally squawk and complain and obviously is embarrassing their youngster on the field, and the parent usually says, hey, it's my kid. I have the right to treat my kid as I see fit.
That's not true.
Well, because you know, and I know that the idea here, and this is the way I'm talking about the unwritten rule, is once your kid goes onto that team and is playing, the coach is in fact the parent. And in fact, the coach has the right and has the privilege to coach the kids as they see fit. Parents have to basically stay in the sidelines and say, look, I've given my approval to the coach. For the parent to start, you know, becoming like a de facto coach as well, that doesn't apply. And then there's this thing, if a parent makes the mistake of starting to criticize not just their own kid, but my kid as well, well, now I'm really, you know, that's not right. I mean, you can't criticize my kid. Who gave you that right?
Exactly, because that's way over the top.
Oh, yeah. So I don't understand. That's what I mentioned before. And, Vin, thanks for the call this morning. I mentioned before about how parents sometimes have to sign contracts for the beginning of the year, and that's a nice gesture. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't get enforced during the course of the season as emotions run high. But parents have to understand. They have to consciously understand when you sign on your kid to a team and they register and they're on that team, the coach is in charge now, especially during the games. Parents, you can go and you can applaud and you can cheer, but be very careful about crossing that line where you start to reprimand your youngster. And, of course, you really are in trouble if you start to reprimand some other parent's kid on the team as well. That's just not going to work. Let's go to Ife over in Monroe Township. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Great. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You do a great show all the time.
Thank you.
In line with what the last caller said, yep, I had an experience with my kid on an AAU basketball game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the umpire was making bad calls against the kid. So the parent was also yelling at his son to play harder. And he would do both. He would yell at his son. He would yell at the umpire. So I couldn't take it anymore. I was sitting next to him, and then my wife was also there. So I told him, I said, why don't you back off of these people? Leave your son alone and leave the umpire alone, because the more you yell at the umpire, the more the umpire is going to take it out on the team.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, the umpire keep making more calls against our team.
Yeah.
You know the funny thing? My wife went against me.
Really?
My wife said, why do I have to tell the man to stop yelling at his son? But that was his son he was yelling at. So I said to her, I said, but look, he's getting out of control. The next thing, himself and the umpire pulled themselves on the sideline, and they were about to have like a street ball. So it's true. Somebody has to really come in and be the cooler head to rationally tell them to back off of each other.
And that's I would suggest, and one of the callers that said this before earlier, that that's really the job of the coach. If a coach feels that a parent is making so much noise in a negative way, that the coach can go over to the parent and say, look, I'm the coach. Thanks for your interest in the game, but I don't need you to be doing my job. And that I think, is a very important aspect in all this. Hey, Ife, thank you for the call. You know, that's and I know it's hard. Look, we know it's hard being a coach these days at any level. But if you get to the point where you're saying a parent is really over the top, and not they're not necessarily yelling at their son or their daughter in a negative way, they're trying to get them to play even harder, that's where you got to be very careful. But again, coaches, you got to be aware of that. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. When you first introduced this, I thought it was some woman looking for her lost golf ball off the course or something. But this is a good one. It's a tricky one. But first of all and foremost, in my opinion, nobody's talking about how the kid was reacting.
Right.
You know, if the kid was just taking his dad's encouragement and everything. But you know what? I've been around coaching for you know how many years. And the funny thing is that sometimes the kids aren't reacting to the dad the right way. And if there was an interaction there where the kid was telling the dad, be quiet, which I've heard it millions of times, and the dad just keeps going at him, then somebody has to intervene. Then the coach, in my opinion, pulls the son out of the game. If the father doesn't get the message, then somebody approaches the father. It could have been a coach or an assistant coach, if possible, or the golf cart lady, whatever, you know what I mean? You know, and once again, the problem here is that we don't understand the interaction between the kid and the father. If the kid was reacting in a negative way to what the father was doing, and I understand it, then you pull the kid out, you talk to the kid, and then you go approach the father. As for your second part of the question, sorry, Rick.
Yeah, I was saying, but that's
yes,
that's
somebody should always intervene.
That's the coach's. I mean, you're saying that's the coach's reaction. The coach should be aware of this.
Oh, definitely. The coach should see. How's the father? I'll guarantee you, there's probably history there.
Yep.
There has to be.
I'm sure.
So, you know, if it's something that's happened in the past, maybe didn't get escalated the way it did today, and Mary didn't jump in or whatever. But the point is, the coach has to be aware of that. And this is, you're talking about a 13-year-old kid. It's not like the 6 or 7-year-old kid where the other gentleman was speaking about.
Yep.
This is a 13-year-old kid. You should understand this.
No,
Jack,
let me stop you there because I'm up against a break. But yeah, I the fact that the kid is 13. Suggests to me that he should know that there are going to be occasionally calls that go against him. I also assume, as you do, that there's probably a history here with the parent, the dad, and his son. And again, this is a lot of smoke and mirrors here, because I do think it has a lot to do with the coaching. The coach has to step up and be aware of what's going on and to intervene.
The focus should be on the kid, the father right now, not on the father right now,
yep.
But the coach, if the coach pulled him out, it would have been, I think, a different story.
I hear you. Hey, Jack, I'll see you Wednesday night.
You definitely will.
Thanks, Jack. Talk to you then.
All right, Rick.
Take care.
Right, bye-bye.
You know, and I do think there has to be great sensitivity, as Jack pointed out, about the kid. It's all about the children who are playing the sports. All right, let me take a timeout. When I return, I go right back to your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Yeah, a lot of football ready to kick off this morning at 9 o'clock with the San Diego Chargers playing against the Tennessee Titans. That's coming to you live from London, England. Again, that's at 9 o'clock following the Sports Edge. As always, I invite you to you can check out my blog and my website at AskCoachWolf.com, where you can post your comments, questions, whatever you want. Again, AskCoachWolf.com. Don't forget, the postgame, how social media can hurt and help you. This Wednesday, October 24th at 7 p.m. at Montclair State University School of Communications and Media. Now, if you aren't familiar with the campus, the School of Communications and Media, it's a brand-new building. It's right near the main entrance of the university. And the symposium will take place right in the new and spacious lecture hall in that building. If you go to the Montclair State website, you click on their calendar, you'll find all the information you need. Plus, of course, you can find directions there as well. Our panelists will include law professor Doug Abrams, who's been on the show many times, Former NFL star Roman Oben, Montclair State Associate Head Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Cunningham, and Christian Brothers Academy Athletic Director Vito Civrigliotti. So again, the post-game, how social media can hurt or help your athletes, 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Admission is free thanks to the generosity of Investors Bank, the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, and, of course, Montclair State. Bring your questions, friends. It's meant to be a very interactive, a lot of give and take with the panelists and myself. I look forward to it. And this morning, we're talking about parents intervening. The question is, would you intervene if you felt another parent had crossed the line in the way that they are treating their own son or daughter in a youth or high school game? 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Floral Park. Elizabeth has been waiting patiently. Good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm a mother of two boys who play sports. Now they're in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But this conversation reminded me of a time when my son was a 7-year-old on a baseball team who was trying to play first base for the first time and wasn't the best, but he was doing okay. The coach was a friend of ours and really, you know, made it obvious for everyone sitting there watching the game to know that my son maybe wasn't the best at first base and was really yelling it out to him and making it kind of obvious, you're never going to play first base, like really into that way of coaching. And it just was a difficult situation because we knew him outside of coaching,
mm-hmm.
and my husband was there and I was there and I was very uncomfortable. It's really hard to watch because
right.
it just wasn't thinking of that little boy at the time. So we did it to talk to him about it. And I think that's what your conversation has been going with. Like, where do you cross the line to intervene when it's a coach? You don't want to step on the toes of a coach. My husband's been a coach. But sometimes, like, their judgment is skewed or they're just so into the game. I don't know. But sometimes it just does warrant that. And if I could just say also about Jack, your other caller's comment, it's about the kid.
Yes.
Like, what are they getting out of this experience? And if you're heckling them, your own parent is heckling you across the field, like, is that really benefiting them too? Like, it's just, I feel like sometimes we forget that it's the kid's game.
Well, Elizabeth, I mean, that's, first of all, thank you for chiming in this morning. Look, everybody agrees, or they should agree, that it is kids who come first. It's all about the kids and making sure that they enjoy and have a good time playing sports. And if they do, chances are they'll come back and want to play again next year because they enjoyed it the year before. That's the idea. We want our kids to play sports because of all the various life lessons they learn, the physical exercise, the all those wonderful things rolled into one. As far as Elizabeth talking about the fact that a coach with a 7-year-old is apparently being tough on him and yelling out and so on and so forth, well, yeah, that's at that tender age, particularly if the boy has ever played first base before, I would say to the parents, that's a case where you might want to, you know, talk to the coach. In this case, apparently the coach was a friend of the parents and say, you know, you understand our son wants to play and wants to gain your approval, but he's never played that position before. He's not going to probably respond well to a lot of harsh and negative criticism, particularly if you're yelling at him in front of everybody else. That's a case where I would say something to the coach and have a conversation because, let's face it, coaches are usually volunteers, and they may not know exactly how they're coming across as well. It's a little different when the kid is 13 or 16 or something, but at that very young age, that's a case where I think a parent does have the right to talk to the coach and say, let's make sure we're all got the right priorities in order with these young kids. Let's go up to New Rochelle, and Al has been waiting. Al, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, my man. How you doing this morning?
Good, Al. How are you?
Good. This is my first time calling, and I was listening to when you was talking about the lady in the golf cart.
Yes.
So I had to look it up online, and when I saw it out, I wasn't surprised what happened because I don't know if anybody else said it, but I'm going to call it racism. I really am.
Well, Al, you know, I mentioned it at the top of the hour that obviously this is all a lot of reason why I got a lot of national attention was because the father was black and she was white, you know, and I know that. And I really wanted to get away from the race angle because, first of all, it's nothing happened. For which, I mean, the cops came, as you know, and the cops basically said, what's the problem? And she sort of said, well, you know, he was getting loud and obnoxious with this kid. And he said, I'm just telling my kid to play better. That's all. And so I want to stay away from that race angle. I think it's more about the parental intervention. That's what I'm going to focus on this morning. So.
Okay, cool. Well, that was my opinion about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like it's been happening for a while now.
I agree. But that's again, this is not the purview of this particular program. Al, thanks for chiming in. Again, it's not about – I understand there's a racial component to this, but I'm focusing on the sports parenting angle, and obviously judging from the calls, this is something that people are very much aware of. Let's go to Joe in Medford. Joe, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been umpiring for 40 years. I coached. And when I go over ground rules at the beginning of a game, I let the coaches know that I tolerate two abuses. And if it gets too abusive, I have a quick phone. I call the state police. I had to do that twice in the last 2 years because parents went absolutely ballistic, and I had to have the state police come out.
So let me ask you this, Joe, to be clear. You talk to the coaches at the beginning of the game. You tell them, obviously, the coaches, they can't get – they have to behave themselves, but you tell them if their parents are out of control, you're going to call the cops?
I tell them to go to their parents and let them know what the rules are.
Oh, I see. I see. And you've had situations where parents – and what age are we talking about? What age are these kids?
Well, recently I've been doing a lot of 1,200, but I've done high school as well, which I don't go over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what happens now in youth baseball is a lot of it's travel ball.
Sure.
And these parents are paying big bucks. So when you make a call and a parent goes wild
– yep.
You got to tell the coach to settle him down, or the parent has to leave, and if it gets so bad, the game's forfeit.
Yep, yeah. Well, I mean, it's always difficult, and you know this, Joe, as an umpire, when you go to the coach of the travel team and say, you got to control your parent, the coach is thinking, well, that parent is paying my salary.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to be, you know, and the coach is then going to be in an awkward spot, and the parent might turn to the coach and say, well, my kid's the star of the team, and you're not going to defend him, so I'm going to take my kid off your team, and so on and so forth. It is difficult. But you mentioned you've called the police on a couple of occasions?
Twice. One was on a 9U tournament.
Oh, my goodness.
And the parent was actually started threatening the other umpire.
Well,
that's all he made at first base.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for that, no need for that. And that's where you'd hope that the coach or some other parent would have gone over to that parent and say, look, let's take a walk. Let's cool off a bit. You know,
you had other parents supporting him. Here's a situation I had just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
With the travel coach was coaching third base. He was blowing the team out.
Yeah.
I mean, his team was far better than the other.
Yeah.
And he had a kid at second base who didn't tag on a deep fly ball. And the coach goes, get your ass back to that base and tag up.
Uh-huh.
I called Tom. I went out there and I said, Coach, you can tell your guy to get back, but I don't want to hear that kind of language.
Right.
He goes, who are you? This is my team. I can do what I want.
Ah, there you go.
Coach, you say it again, you're out of here. He said, you're a clown. You can't do anything.
Yeah, I forgot the whole umpire.
And you tossed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tossed him.
Yeah. Well,
I'll have to go out and get it.
All right. Joe, I know you're busy. Sounds like you got a game coming on right now. But
I'm doing the game right now in Baltimore. You got it.
Well, thank you for chiming in this morning. I appreciate the call. And, you know, I Joe was absolutely correct in reprimanding that coach and to toss him out of the game. And, again, unfortunately, we don't want to get to those kind of points, but that's why we empower our referees and our umpires to have a zero-tolerance rule that they can dismiss any coach or parent who gets out of line, because unfortunately we just don't seem yet to be able to always corral and keep our emotions in check. Let's go quickly to Louie in Long Beach. Louie, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good. Louie, you got about a minute here, so go ahead.
All right. Before the game starts, usually the officials talk to the players and the coaches, and they read them the Riot Act about sportsmanship.
Right.
What I think they should also do is read the Riot Act to the parents before the game starts.
You know,
and then this, I guarantee you, that has never been done before, and it's never been brought up. And if they were to do that, I bet you they'd stop a lot of these issues with the parents yelling and screaming at the kids.
Louis, it is an absolutely superb suggestion. And as you said, it's routine for umpires to go over, particularly at the high school level, to talk to the coaches and talk to the kids on the team. But to go and just say and turn to the parents in the stands and say, hey, if you guys say anything we can, you know, construe to be outrageous or over the top, whatever, we're going to have to get rid of people and just or to forfeit the game or dismiss you or dismiss your kids. I think that's an excellent suggestion. It may be difficult to enforce, but the fact is that it's a great, great idea. Louis, thank you for making
Take
that
care,
recommendation.
Rick.
Take care. And I think that's a good idea. I think tell the parents, because invariably we know it's the parents who are the source who cause all the issues here. All right, let me take a time out. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
Rick Wolf, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
As usual, lots of excellent calls this morning. Lots of really good thoughts about what we're going to do to try to keep parents and their behavior under control. I fully understand being a sports parent myself. When you go to watch your son or daughter play in a game, your emotions well up inside you because you want your kid to perform and perform well. But the fact of the matter is we have to sort of maintain our sense of equanimity in terms of how we behave. I mean, let's face it, our kids watch us and use us as role models as to their own behavior. But as our last caller, Louis, just said, you know, it's a really good idea. The parents, they need to be addressed before the game by the officials, by the umpire, the referees. Let them talk to the parents and say, look, let's have a zero tolerance policy here. If you guys get out of control, we're going to have to basically ask you to leave, or we're going to forfeit the game. I mean, I hate to say that, but I do think that's the kind of situation that really needs to be enforced. Simple as that. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Brian Rascona. Please be sure to come by on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at Montclair State when we talk about the postgame and social media. It's a very, very important topic. I look forward to seeing you then. See you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.